All right, we're live at 5, right? Okay, I need to do something here. Let's try to figure out a way to do this. We don't have all the young guys here. Okay, let me do this. And I'll do this. And I'll do this. And I'll do this here. And I'll do this here. And I'll do this here. Okay, now, can you stand here? Can you stand there? Come on, David. You stand over here. Stand right there. I'm going to stand right here. Now, y'all face this way. All right. No, face that way. Tell me everything you see up here. What do you see? Tell me what you see.
Bible, the paper, flowers.
Yeah.
A dictionary.
Okay.
And a pulpit.
Okay. All right. How about you, Nate? What do you see?
See some tracks.
Where? Okay. You didn't see those. So were they there? Well, he's looking at it from a different angle. Right. Okay. But you see him.
Yep.
Okay. What else do you see?
See the Bible, the stand, the note sheet, and the Bible.
Okay. How about you, brother? What do you see?
See one track.
Okay.
Piece of track. And
you see some of it. You don't see all of it, but a little bit. Right. Uh-huh.
See the Bible and the
right.
paper and the
okay.
Everything
right. Good. I see the flowers. Okay. I see just the corner of that Bible thing sitting up there. I see this pen down here. Y'all didn't see that. And I see the pulpit. And I see three ugly... No. That's it. That's all I'm done. The point of that is what? Why did God have four Gospels written? You see? And you get all four angles on that thing. Then you take all four of those, and then you put them together. Then you study them, and you'll get the big picture. Because then what you'll get is you won't be looking at it from here. And you won't be looking at it from here. You won't be looking at it from here. And you won't be looking at it from here. When you get the whole big picture, you'll be able to look at it from up there. Swear to God. We need to look at it from up there. All right. Now, when you do that, you get all four directions. North, east, west, south. Well, that's good news. News, N, north, east, west.
Oh.
Good news. That's it. All right, so now, after the four Gospels, you have the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Acts, we just finished our study in the book of Acts. And I'd encourage you, if you weren't here for it, if you can get the CDs from Brother Richie. I don't know if he's got an MP3 yet or what he's got available. But understanding the book of Acts really is one of the key books in your Bible to understanding the Bible. Okay? Because in the book of Acts, you're going to see the transition that takes place in your Bible from a Jewish religion to what we have today, the Church of God. There's a big difference between the two. All right? And to understand how that transition takes place, you have to carefully study the book of Acts. And when you study the book of Acts, you'll see that transition that takes place in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts is written by Luke, the same one that wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke is the beloved physician that travels with the Apostle Paul. And so Acts, written by Luke, if you look in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 1, the main thing that happens in Acts chapter 1 is they choose a disciple, an apostle, to replace Judas. Okay? And that ends up being Matthias. It was between Matthias, or Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname Justice. So they went with Matthias because his name was a lot shorter to put on the plaque. No, they did last, and they asked God which one, and they found out which one the Lord wanted, and he became that 12th apostle. In Acts chapter 2, the promise that Jesus Christ had given to his 12 apostles that he would send the Holy Ghost takes place. And that takes place in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Pentateuch. Pentagon. Pentagram. Pentecost. 550. 50 days from the Feast of Passover is the Feast of Pentecost. All right? So it's 50 days after the Passover. 50 days after the Passover, a Jewish feast. That's when the Holy Ghost comes down. At this Jewish feast, what happens? You've got Jews from all the countries all around, and they all come for that feast. And they're all there in the temple at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Ghost comes down, the 12 apostles begin to speak in tongues. Say, what does that mean? What did they do? They went boom chugga lugga lugga boom chugga lugga lugga boom chugga lugga. Yeah, sure. Look down there in Acts chapter 2, verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers at Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." What are tongues? Being able to speak in a foreign language so that others can understand. And if you can't interpret and can't cause it to be understood, shut up. You say, how dare you? You're a preacher. That's what the Bible says. We'll get to that in our Sunday school lesson. Amen. But because we're in 1 Corinthians 14 right now in Sunday school. But in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost comes down. And what happens after the Holy Ghost comes down? They get the initial evidence. What's the initial evidence? Peter preaches with boldness. The evidence of having the Holy Ghost is boldness to speak the words of God. It's the ability to prophesy. That's all. Teaching the Bible, preaching the Bible, putting the words of God out. That's what the prophets did. They didn't do it in a language that nobody could understand. They did it in a language they could understand. They still didn't listen. You don't need to speak in other tongues. You can't get anybody to listen in the one they're speaking. Good night. But what happens is, because God's still dealing only with Jews, he's dealing with signs and wonders. Because the Jews require a sign. The nation began with signs, and it continues on with signs. We're not following signs. We're by faith. Right. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. It's faith, you see. It's faith, it's not signs and wonders. All the signs and wonders you need are in a book. It's all the wonders are in here. It is. It's full of wonders. If you'll read it, see, all the wonders you need are right there. The Lord told him, you want a sign? You ain't going to get one. Except the sign of the prophet Jonas. What was the sign of the prophet Jonas? Careful. Careful. He said it two times. He said it two times. The one time he said, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. The other time he said the sign of the prophet Jonas and walk out. How was Jonas a sign to the people there? He preached. The only signs you're going to get is the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's it. That's the only sign you need. See? You know what was Jonah's message? No, it wasn't. 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's all his message was. Nothing good about it. Just a negative preacher, just... Huh? That's all he did. 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Well, they repented. But he didn't tell them to be, he didn't tell them to repent. Jonah was looking forward to him getting it in the net. He couldn't stand those people. Right? And you know why he went? That's the reason he got all mad at God when God saved them, when they repented. He said, I knew that was going to happen if I preached to them. Now, you know what that is? That's the greatest revival that's ever taken place in the world by a man with no burden. That's amazing. But you know what he did? He just preached what God said to preach. It's God that does it through the Word. It ain't about any man. It's about what the Lord's able to do through the Word of God. All right, now, continuing on there in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, what's the message? Well, it's the same message as you saw in Acts chapter 2. What's the message in Acts chapter 2? You know what the message in Acts chapter 2 is? Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel. Well, who's he preaching to? Look at that, Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you. How? By miracles and wonders and signs. We're dealing with the Jews. Which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Who did? The Jews. You killed your Messiah. That's the message. Verse 24, whom God raised up. He's alive. You killed him and he's alive and he's coming back. Get right. That's the message in Acts chapter 2. You know what the message in Acts chapter 3 is? It's the same message. Verse 14. Acts 3, verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 19. What's the message? Repent ye therefore, and be converted by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out, not a period, but a comma, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. When are their sins going to be blotted out? When Jesus comes back. If they'll repent. He's going to come back, and he's going to be the Messiah of Israel. He's giving them another chance. Why? They killed their Messiah. Why would God give them another chance? Would Jesus pray on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Who's the them? It's the Jews. See? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. God, give them another chance. And God does. And so the preaching that's going on in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7 is, hey, Israel, you crucified your Messiah. You need to repent of it because he's coming back and you want to make sure you're on his side when he comes back. That's the message all the way through there. And I challenge you to read that and see it for yourself sometime when you get a chance. Now, what happens? Over there in Acts chapter 6, they get their first deacons. They got 5,000 people, so they get 7 deacons. Now, in the Southern Baptist churches today, you get 5 people and you get 7 deacons. About the size of it. But. What happens is Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, the first deacon here, he's going to go and he's going to preach to the Jewish leaders. And what this message is, and Stephen, I'm sure he doesn't realize it when he's doing it, but this is the last gasp. This is the last chance for the nation of Israel to get right. And it happens here in Acts chapter 7. And he lets him have it. And he's ripping into him here. And he what he's showing him, the message that he's showing him is how God gave him another chance. God gave him another chance. Here's Moses. What does Moses do? He preaches about Moses. What does Moses do? Well, he murders a guy that's trying to hurt one of his Jews because he thought the people would understand that he was their deliverer. But they understood not. So Moses is rejected. He comes back later the second time and delivers him. Here's Joseph. What do they do to Joseph? He's the chosen one of God. They reject him. Later on, he ends up being their Savior, and they receive him, and they bow their knee to him the second time. The first time they reject them, the second time they receive. That's the message, see, going through Acts chapter 7. And where does that thing end up? Look over there in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and now where's the love? Where's the sweet spirit of Christ? Verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. They rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected God the Son and crucified Him. Now they're rejecting God the Holy Ghost. So, what do we say? Three strikes? You're out. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and repented. And that, no, they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, I thought the Bible said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing standing up? Notice, verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of God, not Son of God, Son of Man. Jesus had two titles. Son of Man, earthly, literal, visible, physical ruler over an earthly, visible, physical kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. But he was also the Son of God. God is a spirit. God can be seen. See, that's the kingdom of God. Different kingdom. He's a spiritual ruler. He's a physical ruler. As the Son of Man, he's a physical ruler. He's coming back to take over if Israel would have accepted him. But they didn't. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Let me ask you something. Show me the next time Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of Man. They had the chance. They had their chance. From now on, he's going to be the Son of God only. No more the Son of Man. Until Jesus Christ comes back to this earth at the end of the tribulation, he's the Son of God. When he comes back as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. Because he will be reigning over a spiritual kingdom and a physical kingdom. It's the culmination of the Old Testament and the New Testament. See? You always got to get that, the physical and the spiritual. You know how most people get messed up in their Bible? They don't distinguish the difference. What are the inheritances given to Israel? Are they spiritual or are they physical? What are the inheritances given to the Christian? Then what is all this nonsense on TBN about health, wealth, prosperity? And I mean, listen, what is that? You know what all their promises, you know what they're always talking about? The physical. Why would you settle for that when you've been promised something so much better? You have an eternal inheritance. The physical ain't eternal. It's all corruptible. Heaven and earth shall... It's going to die. It's corruptible. See? It's vanity. Our hope isn't down here. Our hope's up there. Mm-hmm. Right, it never can. Because it's temporal. And once you're saved, it'll satisfy the natural man. But that's all it can satisfy. Once you're born again, this world is not your home. And you're a pilgrim. And if you get backslidden and want to live in the world, you can try it, but you'll never be happy. Ever. There's nothing there. It's death. That's all that's there. Yeah? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. It's all dead. There's nothing to it. There's no life there. See? You know, that's like, what was the old commercial? They got the guy floating in the raft or something with a beer. It doesn't get any better than this. God help me, man. Can you imagine if it didn't get any better than that? Really? I mean, that... what a thing, you know? And then that same guy, you're going to say, well, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, I believe hell's on the earth. Well, you're having a great life, aren't you? Yeah, yeah, if you really believe hell was on the earth, why would you want to stay here? You know, it's so great. They're having such a great life, they think this is hell. Yeah, man, you got to get saved. All right. So that's the whole point of it. Now, look what happens here. Look at the irony. You want to talk about irony, man? You got it in the Bible. Look at this thing, verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, a Jewish Pharisee, condemning and consenting unto the death of Stephen, which in turn is damning the nation of Israel. And this same Saul becomes the Apostle Paul, who God gives the abundance of the revelations concerning the grace of God and all that the church needs to know about concerning sound doctrine, given through the Apostle Paul, calls him to go out to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. What's Paul wanting to do? I got to reach them Jews. I got a burden for the Jew. I want to reach my own people, right? Well, guess who God used to damn them? That must have been a tough pill to swallow. But there it is. That's what's going on. So beginning now in Acts chapter 8, you begin to see that transition from a Jewish religion, now that they've rejected their Messiah, all right, you're going to see that transition begin to take place. And it begins in Acts chapter 8, which makes sense because 8 is the number of new beginnings. Right? Right? Sure. Noah was the 8th from Adam. Right? It's 8 is you go 7 notes of music and then you start over again. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. Yeah, A is new. See? So when you come to 8, you come to something new. So we have a new beginning, a something, but it's a transition. You understand? This whole thing is a transition going on. Now, anybody from Acts chapter 3, 4, 5, 6 that had believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior was saved. They were in the body of Christ. They were baptized into Christ. They had eternal life. They were given spiritual circumcision. All these things we'll be studying in the weeks to come. Right? But none of them knew it. It hadn't been revealed. And that's what messes people up. When you go through the book of Acts, that's the trickiest part. Is, well, when the Holy Ghost came down, was the body of Christ there? Sure! How many of them knew it? Now, let me ask you something. When you got saved, were you placed in the Jesus Christ? Were you seated with him in heavenly places? Did he come in and circumcise your soul from your flesh? Did he wash away all your sins in his blood? Did he become your high priest? How many of you knew that when you got saved? Well, it must not have happened then. It must not have happened. You didn't know it. See, it wasn't revealed yet. It had taken place, but it's years. Is not God still to this day revealing things to you? Right? Does that mean that those things weren't so? No, it just means they hadn't been revealed yet. That's what you have to understand here in the early part of the church is things are now going to begin to be revealed to the church of what God has done through Christ, through the gospel. All right? So if you understand that, that'll help you from becoming a hyper-dispensationalist and getting with E.C. Moore and them kooks and getting all messed up over on that side of the ditch. Amen. So that's that. No. So what you have here in Acts chapter 8 is, Stephen's dead, so next in turn is Philip. And Philip's the next deacon. So, they figured, I don't know, but you know, maybe the apostles just decided, wait, we got to do something with these deacons and started sending them out. But but in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Well, amen, he's preaching to the Samaritans. What would he say? You go into Judea and then Samaria, then the uttermost parts. See what's going on? What's beginning to happen now is this thing's going to start going out. So when they start at Samaria, where's he going to go from there? What's he going to do? Verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto his chariot. So what he is basically, he's a proselyte to Judaism, but he's an Ethiopian. He's a black man. He's African. And you know what's going to happen? This guy's going to get saved. You know how he's going to get saved? By believing. You know what he's going to do after he gets saved and believes? He's going to get baptized in water, right? Isn't that what he says? Sure, look there in verse 37. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right? All right, read verse 37 in that NIV, bro. Yeah. Acts 8, 37. No problem, brother. Take your time. Take your time.
I know you are Abraham.
No, Acts 8. Yeah, I'm sorry. The book of Acts. You're getting close, though. I know that. You're in the New Testament.
Praise the Lord.
Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. If you look in verse 36 for the context, they said they went their way, they came down to certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What are you supposed to do before you be baptized? Get saved. Right. All right. Read verse 37. That's all right, bro. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. How about that? I know, brother. I believe you. I believe you. Now, you know what that just said? You know what that verse? Well, let's read it now in the King James Bible, and you'll find out why they do it. See, verse 836 says, the end of 836 says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest," verse 37. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then they got baptized. Now, what Acts 8:37 does is it disproves infant baptism.
Amen.
It disproves infant baptism. What do the Roman Catholics and the Episcopalians and everybody believe? They believe they sprinkle the babies. You know who is responsible for writing your King James Bible? Episcopalians. And yet they kept the verse in. But then somebody else said, we've got to do something. This book's about to ruin our religion. Yeah. All right. So that thing right there, it didn't go with their doctrine, so they take it out. And then they took that out of your Bible, and then they sold you that Bible and charged you full price.
Get my money back.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the right attitude. I like that. Got him right there on the left.
All right.
Amen. You know what? Here's the line. Here's the line how they got you. They told you, we'll get this when it's easier to understand. You'll learn the Bible better. And you know what that is? It's just a lie. It's just a lie. Because there ain't that many words in the King James Bible you don't understand. And if they are, guess what you can do? You can look them up in the dictionary. right? Now, oh, there you go. Or, but I'll charge you. But, no. But what you could do, right, instead is just believe the King James Bible and ask God to reveal it to you and trust God. You know what we're living in? We're living in the fast food age. We're living in have it your way. Have it right now. We need it now. We need it quick. We need it easy. No, God said study, work at it, and God will give you what you need. Sure, that's what you need. Amen? So you work at it, and God will give you what you need. You don't have to change His words to get what you need. And when you do, all you do is you mess the book up. You take out all the cross-references. You can't get anything out of it. And that's why you've got a bunch of people in Christianity that don't know the Bible anymore. That's all it is. It's really that simple. And we just need to get... Well, who's telling them? We got to tell them. We got to get word out. We got to let them know. King James Bible is the right Bible. If you got something else, you're wrong. Amen. Really. That's
and, so
right.
It's hard to pull out.
Yep. Yeah. Use grace. Use wisdom. Pray and give them the, find some good materials to give to them. See what you can do for them. That work. That work. Well, if you got the right bait. If you got the right bait. Yeah. Sure. All right. So Acts chapter 8, we see that Ethiopian eunuch get saved. What happens in Acts chapter 9? It's the conversion of Saul, who becomes the apostle Paul. What's he going to do? He says, you're going to go preach to them Gentiles. Right? Now, you'll preach to Israel too, but you're going to preach to them Gentiles. Paul, I'm calling you out for a purpose. All right? And what happens in Acts chapter 10? In Acts chapter 10, Peter's been kind of moving up, going northwest through Israel for some reason. And all of a sudden, here he is way up here in Caesarea, and now all of a sudden, he's called to... by God to go to this guy Cornelius. Who's Cornelius? He's a Roman soldier. He's a full-blooded Gentile. And God says, Peter, I want you to go and I want you to preach to that guy. Call nothing unclean. Call nothing common. Because before that, the Jews weren't supposed to have any dealings at all with the Gentiles. And God says, no, I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel to him. You know what he does? He goes and he preaches the gospel. And Peter says, the door to the Gentiles has been opened. Peter opened the door. Paul went through it. And so after this, you're not going to see much of Peter after Acts chapter 10. You got 11, 12, shows up a little bit in chapter 15. After that, it's Paul, man. And it's Paul going out with the gospel, the grace of God, to the ends of the earth. Amen? And that's where we're at today. That's where we're at. And this thing is going to end up. You're going to be back over there in the book of Revelation. That's where we're ending up. Where does it end? Look over there in Revelation chapter 2.
Well, this book won't have revelations in it.
Throw that one out too, brother. No, you know what that is? That's just something that one of the kids in the Bible in the church was. They got you a cheap Bible back there, brother. Get him one of the good ones. Get him the ones we paid money for. Ooh. Ooh. That hurt. That's rough. All right, Revelation, look here in... I was just making sure it wasn't a hymnal. All right. All right, Revelation chapter 2, Jesus Christ shows up to John, and John is a picture of the church. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 1. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. You got seven churches here. You know how many epistles Paul writes, letters to churches? How many different churches Paul writes to? Seven. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonica. Seven places, seven churches he writes to. You've got seven churches here in Revelation, and you're going to see that word show up over and over and over again. In Revelation chapter 2, look for that word church. Just scan down through there. Look at verse 7. See churches there? Look at verse 8. See the word church? Did you see that? All right, good. Verse 12, you see it in verse 12? All right. When's the next time you see it there? How about verse 18? How about verse 17? There it is in verse 17, churches. Verse 18, there it is, church right there. Look for it again. When's the next time you see it again? Verse 23. All right, how about after that? You see it again? Verse 29, there it is again. See that? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Under the angel of the church, there it is again. See that? There's that church. Church keeps showing up in there. See that? Verse 6, there it is again, churches. Look at verse 7, church. Notice that all the way through here, you keep seeing that, the church, the church, the church. All the way down through there, look at verse 13, there's the churches. Look at verse 13, under the church. Look at the last verse, see how he closes it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, look at chapter 4. After this. After what? I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. When's the last time you saw a door opened in heaven? Acts chapter 7. And the first voice, anybody quote for me 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. Amen. So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right. That's the rapture. That's the rapture of the church. Here in verse 1, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, look. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, there's the voice in the trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? After this. After the churches. And immediately, you know what's going to happen when the rapture happens? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Right? Isn't that how it's going to be? I've heard people say, boy, it'll be just as fast as blinking your eye. No, that's way too slow. Way too slow. Blinking your eye, it ain't fast enough. It said the twinkling of an eye. Blinking your eye, do you realize, I've heard studies on this, they say that the average person blinks their eyes like 22 times a minute. Yeah, just not even thinking about it. Or 17, that's what, 17 times a minute you blink your eyes. Okay? Which means, if you were to drive on a 10-hour trip, you would drive over 20 minutes with your eyes shut. No wonder there's so many wrecks and stuff out there on the road. Now, honestly, there's been times I've driven where my eyes were closed longer than that. But the idea is when that thing happens, it's not blinking. That's too slow. It's the twinkling. It's the speed of light. Anybody know how fast light goes? 186,000 miles per second. Now, I don't know what kind of radar gun they got to check that. I don't know how they did that. But, yeah, that's swooped. That's moving. Yeah, that's moving. You know what that is? Now, you know what that means? If you could stand, I saw a preacher, he gave an illustration on this one time. He said, if you could stand on Earth, right, and you're at the center of the Earth, you could take a gun and shoot a bullet. And it went all the way around the earth and all the way back to you. And there wasn't any mountains or trees or anything in the way. You know, that bullet would go out, and you could shoot a bullet at the speed of light. And you shot that bullet would go through your body 7 times before you could fall over. Around the earth. 7 times. That's the speed of light. That's how fast it is. So, I mean, when the rapture happens, man, that's it. Now, we get into studying the rapture. I'll show you some things there. It's real interesting. But that just that for now. But what I want you to see is understand is, so when you get to the book of Revelation, now in chapter 4, you got the church in heaven in Revelation 4 and 5. Now, and you go through there. Now, you start looking in chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. Show me the word church. Church is gone. Whatever these guys are out there saying church is going through the tribulation, just dump them. They haven't even, they don't know enough Bible to teach one of our little Sunday school classes back here. Right? Because you get from Revelation, you get to chapter 6 where the revelation is given concerning the tribulation, the church has already been gone. The church is up in heaven, gone through the judgment seat of Christ. We're just waiting to come back with our Lord. Right? And what God does is He's gone back to that Jew. That's what He's doing. You know what He's going to do to that Jew? He's going to put him through the olive press. That's what He's going to do. He's going to squeeze him. He's going to put the screws to him. He is going to get that Jew to repent. Jesus told him, "You will not see me henceforth until you're willing to say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" Until they're able to say, "All right, Lord, we're sorry. You are the Messiah." That's what he's going to do. That's why they have to go through that tribulation. See? What happened to Joseph? Well, his brethren were envious. So they delivered him. You know why they delivered Jesus Christ? For envy. Right? For envy. Envy. And so they deliver the brother Joseph for envy. And then all of a sudden they're going through it. There's famine. They don't know what they're going to do. And their father sends them into Egypt and they have to go to Pharaoh, the king of the world, to get sustenance. Which, back then, they didn't have to do it, but in the tribulation, you'll have to take a mark to do it. And when you go there, what happens is Joseph starts dealing harshly with him. He's speaking harsh to him. They don't recognize who he is. See? And he sends them out. And then the next time when they come back, you know what Joseph does? He sends everybody else out, and he's got his brethren there. You know who his brethren are? It's Reuben, right? It's Simeon, it's Levi, it's Gad, it's Asher, it's Naphtali, it's Israel. It's the 12 tribes of Israel that Joseph is revealing himself to. Yeah, sure. Now, well, actually, no. One of his sons, Ephraim, was the 13th. That's a different study. No, Ephraim. Because they take his place. And that's a different... We can't go there. We're gonna get stuck there. You get me into that, we're going to be there a while. Well, we don't want to do that. But... Yeah. But all I thought... Where was I at now? I don't even know where I was at. Good night. I've gotten so far off. Thank you. And so Joseph then sends everybody out. And you know what he does? He reveals himself to his brethren. And then his brethren are weeping and crying and they're hugging one another's necks. Oh, we're so sorry. And you know what's going to happen in the tribulation? Christ is going to reveal himself to the nation of Israel. You're going to have 144,000, 12,000 virgin Jewish males out of each of the 12 tribes. You know who Apostle Paul was? He was a virgin Jewish male. One born out of due time. And Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul by a special revelation. You know what he's going to do in the tribulation? To those 144,000 virgin Jewish males? Same thing. And then they're going to go out and preach. Tribulation is the most religious time that's ever been on the face of the earth. Because everybody's either going to live for the devil or you're going to live for God, one or the other. And to live for God means you're going to have to suffer big time because you're not going to be able to eat. You're going to have to watch your kids starve to death. You're going to get your head cut off, put in prison, unless you get the mark. you're going to have to deny Christ. But if you don't, if you endure to the end, you'll be saved. But it's going to cost you. I sure am glad I got saved when it was easy. You ever hear somebody say, well, I'll get saved then. I mean, if that really happened, then I'd get, no, you wouldn't. If you can get saved now while it's easy, you ain't going to get saved then when it's hard.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? Yeah, right. That's the rich man when he went to hell. Yeah. He said, I have five brethren, lest they come in this place of torment. Must have some daddy. You know what Jesus said? If they will not believe, let's see, if they won't believe Genesis to Malachi, they ain't going to believe Matthew to Revelation. You either believe the book or you don't. Amen? Now, that's just a little background on the Bible. A little bit to kind of help you out and get your appetite wet for the Word of God. All right. And what we'll do is Lord willing, in the weeks to come, we're going to look into salvation and the doctrine of salvation. We're going to look into the preservation of Scripture. Start with some of those basic things there, and then build up from there. My desire is to feed you and teach you the Word of God. But listen, the reason I want to do it is so that you'll get an understanding. All right, so you'll get sound in these things, not so you'll get puffed up in knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. But so then you can take these things, because there's people you know. There's people you can help. If you'll do it in truth and love, there's people you can help. All right, so I want to help you help them. Amen? Same way you save anybody else. But the problem is sometimes the Catholic you can just deal with like anybody else and just tell them how to get saved. Tell them they're a sinner. Tell them Christ died for their sins. Tell them if they don't get saved, they're under the wrath of God. They're going to burn forever. Right. And tell them that only Jesus Christ can save them, not a church. Right. And what it is if they believe all that, but they're still trusting in the Catholic Church, well, it's kind of like this. Right now, I'm trusting in this chair. Right? If this chair falls out right now, I'm falling. See, I'm saved because I put my trust, my finished faith is in Christ. I'm trusting in Him. I'm seated in Christ. Right? Now, the problem with somebody like that is they're in the wrong chair. They're trusting in the wrong thing. Right? So sometimes what you're going to have to do is if you can't just convince them that they need to sit in that chair, then the only way really you can help them is to kick the chair out from under them.
Well, see, they think I'm going to hell. Because
yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. And you got saved, didn't you? Well, then they can too. Sure, Bo.
Mm-hmm. And I've visited their churches. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe, you know, proof between the proof between
me. Right.
You know what it took? It took the Holy Spirit to get a hold of me.
Right.
And you can't do anything.
Right.
All you can do is give them the word. Right. And until the Holy Spirit deals,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. it took me, what, 5 or 6, well, from 88 to 92, it took the Holy Spirit. But these men, it took one.
Yeah. Now, were you already saved, or
yes.
She was already saved?
Yes.
So you had her praying for you too.
No.
Oh, you were in a no-win situation. You just didn't realize it.
Yeah. So, until the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, they could say whatever they wanted. Yeah. They don't want to prove.
Right.
On Saturday, I didn't believe any more Saturday than I did Sunday when I got saved. As far as wanting proof, as far as you know, prove to me that you know the Bible was the Bible, prove to me that the flood happened.
Right.
Right.
And that's what it is. When you're born again, it's God's Spirit has to do the work. All you are is a messenger. You're there to try and be an ambassador to get them reconciled to God. Right? But a lot of times, especially with family members, that's the hardest.
It's hard not to.
I want to say this, Patrick. This is very hard to say. Most
yes, sir.
People.
Yeah.
I was molested.
Uh-huh.
Catholic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I hate Catholic.
Yeah. No, listen. You know what? I've got a documentary video on the internet right now that Pastor James Knox sent me. You know what it's about? It's about the current Pope and how he was the main guy behind the cover-up of all the molestation that was going on, and they made him Pope.
Oh, God. Can we get that from you?
I'm going to try. I don't know how to get it, but I know some guys. I know some guys, man. But I know some guys that know how to do that stuff. I'm clueless with that stuff. You know, I know how to get on the internet. I know how to do some things. I'm not any computer whiz. But I know some guys that maybe could do that.
Uh-huh.
But then we'd have to... Actually, I'll tell you what I can do.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I can do. I can email it to our computer here at the church.
Okay.
And then y'all can watch it here on this computer at church.
What? Is it on Knox's website?
He emailed it to me. I don't know if we put it on his website or not.
Don't we have a link to his website?
Yeah.
Website?
Yeah, but he emailed it. We can get his website, but this is something he emailed me.
Okay.
But I don't know. He might have put it on his website. He might not have. I don't know. But
now, being that I was that way, that young of age.
Right.
I turned from God. You know?
Huh?
I turned from
God. Oh, yeah.
God.
Right. Yeah, that happens to a lot of people.
It's been a real struggle for me to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And you see what I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers and sisters, they say that I'm the one going to hell.
Right.
Sorry. My family and I don't talk.
Yeah. Well, the best thing to do. That's right. That's right. Pray. But believe it when you pray. Sure. But you, brother, when you pray, believe it. Believe. You know what you got to understand? This is the thing you got to understand. God wants them saved more than you do. Isn't it the truth?
It is.
God said he's not willing that any should perish.
Those words didn't come to me. They came to you, and
yeah.
You gave them to me.
Yeah. All right, so you just count on that. All right, you count on that, and you say, now, God, I know you want to see him saved more than I do. And I know that the greatest accomplishment for you, God, is affecting the will of man. Do you realize God can make the sun in 1 second by speaking a word? And yet it may take him years to get a man to yield? That's the only challenge to God. God likes a challenge. God's greatest challenge is the will of man and getting a man to conform his will to God's will. But he's able to do it. God will never change your will. He'll just make you willing. Just like he did Jonah. And he can hunt him down. He'll get on his trail now. Believe me, God gets on somebody's trail, buddy. All you need to do is sit God on him. You sit God on him, let God do the work. Then if they come to you and they ask you a question in sincerity, then you'll have the information for them. You can give it to them. Right, but they don't need to. You're not the only saved person in the world. God can bring somebody else by their way, no problem. That's what he's been doing with my family. I did what I could for them, and then they kind of shut me down. Now they're starting to come back a little bit. But I can tell right now that God's been sending other people by and dealing with them. I've been praying for my family. Now my family, we didn't go, you know, we weren't Catholic, but my brother and sister both married Catholics, so they're both all Catholic families now. And my dad, he married a Jehovah's Witness, for crying out loud. So they're all a mess, you know. But the hard, like I said, that's the hard part is when it comes to your family, brother, it's hard. They don't want to listen to you, you know. But I know what God's been doing, and I know he's been dealing in their hearts, and I've seen it, and I've seen some changes. But brother, now it's been 19 years. Sure. Yeah.
They might not be chosen by God.
Well, they're all chosen by God. God, see, right. God is already willing to save them. They have to be willing to receive Christ. Right? So, it's God's will is for every person to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish.
Are there some
Absolutely. I have much more grace than a Roman Catholic.
Say that again?
I have much more grace than a Roman Catholic.
They don't have any grace.
Because I believe that you can be saved and still be a Roman Catholic. A Roman Catholic doesn't believe I can be a Baptist and be saved. But the problem is they're wrong. God said, come out from among him, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. So they're backslidden, they're not right with God, but they can be saved and still be going to the Catholic Church. And a lot of them do, and the reason is fear. Because that's what the way any cult works, okay? And the Roman Catholic Church is just the largest of the cults, that's all. It's just a cult like any other. The way the cults work is they work through bondage, they work through fear. And they keep people enslaved to, if I do this or I don't do this, then something bad might happen. Right? That's the, so they're afraid that, well, I better not, because just in case, I want to kind of cover my base. You know what they used to do in back there in Greece and Rome? A lot of the Caesars and everything? They would make temples to all the gods. Anybody that had a god, if you were a Christian, that was fine. If you were a Muslim, you know what? They wanted to have all their bases covered. You know, that's the way a lot of people are. They want to have all, make sure all my bases are covered here. I'm going to make sure I'm in good with the Jews and the Catholics and the Christians and the whole nine yards.
I called the mayor today of Poland, and he goes to the Catholic Church.
Really?
Yeah. And he said to me, "We're missing your church."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Let's call to my cousin, who's the Catholic priest over there."
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the devil speaking through
him? No, next time he does that, invite him out here on a Friday night.
Tell his friend to get your approval for him to go back to the Catholic Church.
I'm not doing that.
No. No, what you do is you invite him out here. Yeah, we'll have Wes talk to him, and I'll be glad to talk to him.
She's saying that I'm trying to go back to Catholic Church. I'm thinking that I'm a family.
Sure.
Right.
Right. But you know what? You're not going to win them by going back there. Right? You're going to win them by them seeing something different in you. And that's not going to happen in a week or a month or a year. Okay? You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to wait on God and pray. All right. All right. Anybody else, real quick? I have a question. We're probably at the end of the CD, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, Tim. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. We have to literally trust in God,
yeah,
too, and guide our steps. His mom, for years and years and years, and I don't think Wes realized the magnitude until her last visit, but her and I have a really good relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not trying to make her see what I see,
mm-hmm,
but it's just being what God wants me to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing you need to do. When you're witnessing to somebody, but it's harder with family, and you're right about that, but when you're witnessing to somebody, you've got to give them the Bible. Because the Word of God is the light. All right? The Holy Spirit takes the light of the words of God and illuminates somebody to bring them under conviction. That's what preaching is. Okay? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what it is. It's foolishness. Getting up there and shooting your mouth off? That's foolishness. But that's what God chose. He didn't choose. He didn't choose Hollywood movies. You know, The King and Narnia, The Passion. You know, God didn't choose that. He chose preaching. Amen. God help us when we have to turn to Hollywood for revival. But He chose the foolishness of preaching. So what you do is you just give them the Bible a little bit at a time, but you got to give them the Bible. Right? Right. And or just give them a track or leave something for them to kind of find it. But you got to be careful, especially with family. All right? Because it's different dealing with family than it is anybody else. Strangers, no problem. You know? Right.
But I meet a stranger in my family.
Yeah. Right. But those you gotta be patient and like I said, if anybody calls you or anything like that, you invite them out here. Say, man, you gotta come on out and check it out for yourself. Come on. Let's go. I'll treat you to lunch afterwards. Come on, let's go. Right? Yeah. That's all you gotta do. Just try it out. Try it out. You know? That's why we have a CD ministry here at the church, because a lot of these people, what they'll do is they'll take those CDs and give them to people that they work with or something, so that you don't have to stand there and preach to them. Just say, hey, when you get a chance, when you're by yourself, you know, listen to this here, listen to that, you know.
Can I get some of those tonight and maybe drop them by the mayor's office?
Bro, you come back next week, I'll have some for you.
Okay.
Or come by Sunday and you can sign up for some right back there.
I'll find them right now.
All right. We got a sign up sheet back there. Richie Fonts is not here tonight, and he's the one that's his son there. He's got the CD ministry. Yes, David. Yes, David.
Oh, I have something to comment on the family being Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
My dad's dad and my dad's family is all converted Roman Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, a few weeks after my birthday, I had this like tug on my heart, like,
You just never know when. You just keep at it, right? But that's a blessing. And listen, y'all remember something? If you would this weekend, pray for the young people in our church. These kids here, these kids are too young for teen night, so they hang out here. They want to learn the Bible. Isn't that good? But we had them back there in teen night. We got about 20 back there. We got these here. We got kids in our Sunday school and everything. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to raise a generation for Jesus Christ here in Baldwin County and Escambia County that'll do something for God in the years to come if the Lord tarries. And I sure hope He doesn't. But I'm not about to sit back and say, well, Lord's probably coming back. Forget about it. Because you know why? That's what they were doing 10 and 20 years ago in a lot of the churches. I'd much rather see them grow up for God now and stay clean and stay right, instead of trying to win the God when they're 28 and then fix a broken marriage and financial bankruptcy and all the other problems you got to deal with as a pastor. Amen. Let's get them now, and let's keep them straight, and let's pray for them. Amen? God will do something with them. Maybe He couldn't do with us. But if nothing else, if He can't do anything with us, maybe He'll just use us to help them to do something more.
In fact, Pastor, right? Let's pray for them now.
Amen. We're going to do that. We're going to close in prayer. And anything else to you all pray for Sister Natalie and her health, right? And just the situations they got going on there. Remember them in prayer. All right. Let's see. Charlie, you want to close us in prayer, please? No?